Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning. Wednesday, March the 13th, 2024, 13 minutes past the hour. And the notification I'm getting here on the weather is temperatures to plummet. Temperatures to plummet. So I guess we've had a couple nice days here, and the temperatures might be turning ugly over the next couple days. Although I don't really know that for sure. You know, I'm not a meteorologist. I listen to the reports. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. What can you do? Phone lines are open here this morning, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. We do have a special guest coming on in the bottom of this hour. I believe she will be calling in at 8:40. So we've got about 25 minutes before she will join us, but we will look forward to that. All right. Well, I do want to bring this up because yesterday, now see, I have to go back and pull something back now. Nothing huge, and maybe I will have a chance to talk about it tomorrow. I'm not sure. But here's the deal. As I said last week, and then I brought it up again yesterday, that there's going to be an announcement made today, and I still think the announcement will be made today in regard to something going on with me in an interesting way that I would never have thought. So I said I probably would not be able to talk about it on the morning show this morning because I don't think the announcement will be made before we go off the air today. And I told the people that I would not talk about it until they made the announcement. But I should be able to talk about it on Thursday. Well, the way it's looking tomorrow, we have two guests booked tomorrow morning. And as far as I know, unless one of those guests canceled or does cancel in the next 24 hours, I think tomorrow's show is pretty well going to be guest. But they are important guests, and I don't want to bump either one of them so I can talk about my announcement. So it looks as if I will probably talk about the announcement on Friday morning. Now, I might post something on social media later today if you're able to see that, but I'm not sure unless something happens. Now, you'll want to tune in tomorrow because they're two good interviews, and also I might have a chance to talk about it tomorrow. It just all depends how it all pans out. But I do have two guests scheduled as of now, so if I don't get to it tomorrow, I will talk about it on Friday morning. Probably during the 8 o'clock hour, I would guess. But if not, there's a lot of chances to talk about things on Friday. Jessica Hauser will be in. Matt Morgan will be here, and of course, Pastor Craig will be here on Friday. So we'll have time to talk about it on Friday and the Friday night show, 8:15 until 10 p.m. So that's how that's all going. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's a strange set of circumstances. I'm going to describe it one more time because I wish I knew more or could describe more, but this is how it all went down. About 2 weeks ago, it was the week I was doing the Mary Ellen event, I got a call that Tuesday from somebody who had been on this show quite a bit. And I had not talked to him in quite a while. And all they said was, you're going to be getting a call. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but you're going to know what the call is when you get it. And I said, okay, sounds good. So 5 days passed. We went through all the Mary Ellen events. And on Saturday that week, this call came in. And it came from a very big national company, entertainment company. And they kind of, in the beginning, just said they wanted to touch base with me, and they wanted to talk more, and we'll see how all this goes. Okay. So then, the following Tuesday, I believe it was, they called back. And that's when the conversations got a little more interesting, to the degree of which they said, would you be interested in doing this? We would have to negotiate this all out, and we'll see what happens. So that conversation happened, but and they told me, they said, you cannot talk about this. It's embargoed until March the 13th, which would be today. And I agreed that I would not talk about it. So that happened, and that was last Tuesday, I believe. So basically, that's been where it's been. So it's been 8 days since I had those conversations, and we went into some negotiation last week. So we'll see what happens today, and we'll see where it all goes. You know, nothing is ever for sure, but it looks pretty close as of the conversations that I've been having. Okay, so that's that. Cryptic, though it may be here this morning, but that's the announcement that I'm talking about. And if I don't have time to talk about it tomorrow morning because of the guests, then we'll talk about it on Friday morning. Okay, what else is going on in the world? Well, you know, we don't talk a whole lot of politics on this program unless we have a guest on who's a politician. But it is kind of interesting. I think officially last night, Biden and Trump tied up the nominations for their parties. So it looks like we are going to have the rematch from 2020, President Biden versus President Trump. Well, I don't know. What do you think? Is anybody interested in that? All I keep hearing is that we don't want either one of these candidates. Well, I don't know how we got these two candidates if nobody wants them. I mean, people are voting for them. So I don't really understand that. But it's going to be what it's going to be, and we're going to have it again. And I guess that's the way it goes, is that these are going to be the two, and we'll watch what happens. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? And I mean, you don't have to get into the nastiness of name-calling of politics, but, you know, these are the two. I assume they're the two that people wanted, or people would have voted for somebody else. There were other chances, there were other opportunities for people to vote for other people. But here we go. Our primary's next Tuesday here in Ohio. Not hearing a whole lot of talk about that. And we have a lot of primaries going on here in Ohio, or at least two that I can think of that are seemingly big primaries. Well, three, really. We have the Senate race, the Republican primary for the Senate race, the seat that's held by Sherrod Brown, to find out who's going to face Sherrod Brown in the fall. We have the local representative race, Tracy Richardson and Weslyn Davis. That's a big race going on here in our district. And we also have a Democratic primary on the Democratic side. Of course it would be on the Democratic side, wouldn't it, a Democratic primary? On the Democratic side in the 4th Congressional District between Tracy Richardson. No, not Tracy Richardson. Hold on. Tammy Wilson. And I believe Steve Thomas. And that will be the Democratic challenger for Jim Jordan. So we have those three going on, but I don't know. Are people turning out to vote? Do people care? Will people turn out next Tuesday? Are people filling out their ballots, getting ready for all this? I don't know. I haven't heard a whole lot of talk about it. I've heard talk about it amongst the local candidates, but really beyond that, not a whole lot of talk. So we'll see how that all shakes out in the end. But apparently the presidential race is pretty well all but done as far as the candidates we have. You know, and there's also been a lot of talk about third-party candidates. You know, Matt has had the Libertarian candidate for president on twice, Chase Oliver. I don't know how people feel about Chase Oliver. Matt has certainly done a good job in interviewing him, but I don't know how people feel about him. Yesterday, I think we had a caller. You know, the mornings all blend together after a while. We had a caller yesterday who seemed to feel that Matt did a good job, but did Chase Oliver say anything? And that was my problem with him. You know, I'm not going to give my political opinion on anything, but I just was trying to figure out if he said anything in that interview. I couldn't really walk away with anything that was concrete when it came to Chase Oliver. And this brings up the whole point of third-party candidates in general. This is what I do not understand. I don't think people really know what they're voting for. People who vote Libertarian, I don't think they really know much about that candidate, Chase Oliver. People who vote for the Green Party, I don't think they know a whole lot about Jill Stein. I don't know. I think they just vote because they don't want to vote for Biden or Trump. And that seems a little silly to me in a way, because at least you know what Biden and Trump stand for. Why would you want to vote for somebody who you don't know what they stand for? I don't know. Does anybody understand the appeal behind third parties? You know, there was a day when you actually knew what Ross Perot stood for. So voting for him did not seem like a big deal, because I do believe people understood what Ross Perot stood for. But now, I don't know if they know what these third-party candidates stand for. I really don't know. So, it is what it is at this particular point. Again, phone lines are open this morning, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Feel free to give us a buzz, and we can discuss anything on your mind. We had a whole lot of interesting conversation going on yesterday. We had a whole litany of topics. We talked about, the eclipse some more. You know, and again, I don't know how this eclipse thing's going to turn out. I don't know if all these people are really going to be coming into Marion or not. Some people seem to feel yes. some people seem to feel no. I certainly don't really know at this point how that's all going to shake out. If it does, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I guess stock up beforehand and be ready for it if it does tend to happen. You know, I think people are still thrown off by the time change. I think I'm still a little thrown off by the time change. I don't think that, I don't know. It just feels a little off. Have you ever had those days that just felt a little off? And that's what the week after the time change feels like to me. I mean, the weather was very nice last night, but it just feels a little off, in my opinion. Go ahead, caller.
I'm driving, Scott, so if I lose you, then that's the reason.
Well, okay. Go ahead.
I have an idea of what your big announcement is going to be.
Oh, you have a stab in the dark.
Yeah, stab in the dark. I think you're in negotiations to become the official taste tester of Diet Coke for McDonald's.
You know, wouldn't that be a dream job? Wouldn't that really be where you'd want to go?
Yeah, you travel all around all the stores and test their Diet Coke.
I really think that would be a good use of my time. I think it would be, kind of an easy job.
Yeah, and you get all the Diet Coke you want.
You know, it's a funny thing. I don't know how this happened, but I do have a Diet Coke every morning. This is very well documented. And usually if I do something out in public or I do something at the studio, I will bring a Diet Coke. But at home, I never drink it. At home, I drink, totally different things.
Do you drink tea?
You know, I don't drink tea. I'm not a tea drinker. Lemonade. I'll do the no sugar added lemonade.
Okay. So you wouldn't even try like an Arnold Palmer, like half lemonade, half iced tea?
You know what's funny? I do not understand. I see those bought all the time, and I see a lot of people drinking those. I just do not understand the appeal behind those. And I was never a big fan of iced tea to begin with. It's okay, but it's not my favorite thing to drink.
Oh, man, I love iced tea, and I love Arnold Palmer, too. Lemonade's good, but you put that little bit of tea in there, you get a little bit of caffeine. So that's the key.
Well, and I see a lot of people buying this Arnold Palmer tea. I wish he could have been around to see the flux in his tea.
Yeah, I know. I think he was at the beginning, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he was there when it started, but I think it's become far more popular after his death.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Oh, and I also wanted to say, I listened to Matt's interview with Chase Oliver.
Oh, good. Let's get into, because we've got about 10 minutes here before my guest, so let's get into that.
I know that you kind of thought that he was a little bit cryptic and avoiding some things, but I will say he did give position statements on a variety of issues and topics, so like Second Amendment, monetary policy, immigration, power of the federal government. So I think he did, put out there a good amount of his platform and what his positions are. So I thought that it wasn't, I didn't think it was that bad of an interview, to be honest, from his standpoint.
Well, I'll tell you, he did give his policies out, but they were the same policies he gave in the first interview just a few weeks earlier. And what I had a problem with, Matt had him on for a State of the Reunion reaction, a State of the Union reaction. And the problem I had with it was, yes, he did give all these policies, but he was never asked about them. Matt would ask him a question, and he would take a little shot at whatever the question was, and he wouldn't answer the question, then he would give policy answers.
Well, yeah, that's true.
So that's what I did not like. I thought he knew why he was coming on. He knew he was coming on to talk about the State of the Union, and all he did was use it when the direct questions were asked about things. He just used it to repeat his policy issues, which is fine to know what his policies are, but as far as the questions that were being asked of him directly, he wasn't answering any of those.
Maybe he was like most Americans and didn't watch it.
Oh, no, he watched it. Remember, he was in a bar. I remember him saying that. He was in a bar, and I remember even asked directly about one question. He said, well, it was kind of loud in the bar, so I don't remember if I saw that part.
Yeah, he probably was just passively watching it.
Yeah, so, I mean, why would you take an interview request to comment on the State of the Union if you weren't watching it intently?
I guess when you're a third-party candidate in this country, you got to take whatever opportunities you can get, because you certainly don't get any from the Election Commission or the mainstream media or anything like that. So
no, and yeah,
I agree. He should have come talk, on that topic, since that's what he took it on. So I do agree with that.
Yeah, and it just seemed to me like on the two major questions about now the two presidential candidates, when it came to Biden, he said, well, yeah, that was the most lucid I had heard Biden in a long time. But, he must have taken his B12 shot. So he took a shot there and then asked directly about Donald Trump being a dictator. I mean, he danced all over that question to say, well, yeah, I certainly think that he would be very dictator-ish. And this is a paraphrase. I think he'd be very dictator-ish, but isn't all government dictators? I thought, what is this man saying?
Now, I will argue with your comment that the people that vote third party are less informed and don't really know what they stand for. I would say the exact opposite. I would say that if you do vote third party, now, granted, there's going to be some people that have no idea and they just are sick and tired of the two-party system, so they just vote third party. There are those people, and they don't really know, you know, what that party stands for, or that individual stands for. But I would say most people who vote Green or vote Libertarian, I would say an overwhelming majority of them are more informed and are doing so because they actually, you know the party platform and know the issues and they agree with them. I would, that would be my guess.
Well, here's what I mean by that. Maybe I should explain. I'm not sure that they're less informed in the political world. I guess what I'm confused, because clearly they know that they don't want Biden or Trump. So they're looking for a third choice. So I'm not saying that they're not involved in the political world and not informed there. I think where they're not informed is what these independent candidates are saying or where they're getting their information from. Because here's what I think's happening. I guess maybe this is emblematic of the bigger problem. I think you know exactly what Joe Biden's faux pas are. I think you know exactly what they're knocking him for, and I think you know exactly what he stands for. Same thing with Donald Trump. I think you know what his mistakes are. I think you know what his faux pas are. I think you know exactly what he stands for. As far as the independent candidates, because they're not covered as much, I don't think you have any idea what they sound like. I don't think you know. I think you might know what the Libertarian and the Green parties stand for as a whole, but I don't think you know exactly what these candidates would do as president. Like, they say some things like abolishing the IRS. And I think, now wait a second. And I mean, would somebody vote for that? And I also think that
if they were well informed, they would.
Well, yeah. And I just
it's only been around since 1913, and when it was for the first like 10 years, it was only applicable to the top less than 1% of the top earners federally. So it's expanded dramatically in a relatively short period of time, and so I mean there are grounds to look back historically and say, hey, wait a minute, how did we get here? So I don't. You know, criticize anybody for thinking outside of the box, but yeah, I would say, you know, you're talking 1% of the electorate, maybe 3%, depending on the state, is going to vote third party. So I would say that those people, yeah, they're going and they're probably really researching the issues, and they've come to the conclusion that they, you know, align with the Libertarian Party or the Green Party or what have you. Now, following that party's national candidate, you know, I don't know how many of them, they probably do. They probably check out their social media, but they're not getting the media coverage. So yeah, you're not going to have anybody talk about them on Fox or on CNN or MSNBC or any of those outlets. The newspapers aren't going to discuss them. So it takes a person doing their own investigative research in order to find that information, but it is out there.
Well, I'll tell you what's confusing to me is that I guess, you know, I was thinking about this last night. You know, ever since 2016, we've had, this will be our third presidential election since 2016. And people keep talking about the lesser of two evils. The lesser, I hear that every presidential election now. Now, you didn't used to hear that. You know, I covered presidential elections with George W. Bush and John Kerry and Barack Obama and John McCain and Barack Obama and Mitt Romney. I believe people really wanted the candidate that they voted for. Now, ever since then, though, we've got the lesser of two evils. Now, here is what I can... I'll ask you first. Why do you think the last three elections have been the lesser of two evils?
I mean, I think most elections are the lesser of two evils. I mean, you may have a more charismatic candidate on occasion that doesn't have the history. I mean, just think, look at Obama. I mean, Obama was a junior senator for a very short period of time, and before that he was a community organizer, you know, activist. He really didn't have a whole lot of history, and the history that you were able to find out was kind of shadowed in mystery. But he was a good orator, or at least he could read off a teleprompter well enough to, you know, come across that way. So that candidate inspires, and, you know, it was all hope and change, and, you know, that was that slogan. But that's what it was people. You had somebody that was charismatic and that was putting out some good rhetoric. And then when you get in office, a lot of times that rhetoric doesn't come to fruition into action. And sometimes it does, but in a bad way. So I would say, I don't know. I think a lot of people are just kind of fed up with the process. And then you really don't have an outlet to express your sentiments, and people, you know, censorship is real, you know, especially on one side. You get a lot of censorship from, you know, these social media companies, and it's viewed as private action. So I guess the opinion is that they're free to censor whatever they want, but, you know, you suffer some of that, and then ridicule and who knows what else, so people don't really get involved, or at least they don't talk about it publicly.
Well, it's interesting to me because there are very clearly in the last, since 2016, last 8 years, I guess, there have very clearly, there are people who want to vote for some of these candidates, whether it was Hillary Clinton, whether it was Donald Trump, whether it was Joe Biden. There are people who did want to vote for them. So, this lesser of two evils, I almost think that's come up because it's not that people don't like either one of the candidates. They clearly vote for one because they do go in there and pull the lever for somebody. But I think, because, I mean, hey, I mean, we've all heard this at this point. I don't like the way that person talks. I don't like the things that they say. I wish they wouldn't do that, but I'm certainly not going to vote for the other person. And I think it's a way to kind of, I don't know, I think it's kind of a way to say, because I don't think we've ever had that before. I don't ever remember somebody saying, you know, I just, the candidate that I like, I just don't like what they say. I think they go off the deep end. You know, I can't really justify that, but I'm certainly not going to vote for the other guy. So that seems to me like the lesser of two evils, and maybe that's where that's come from.
Yeah, I'm going to say something controversial, Scott, which is uncharacteristic of me. Trump, he has really strong support amongst, you know, his base, and I don't think anybody can argue with that. So there's a good number of people out there who are, you know, 100% in support, and that's pretty clear. My question is Biden. Like, who is, you know, where is his fervent base of support? I've never met one. I don't know.
You know, that's what's in. You know what? I got a guest coming up here, but I'll tell you what. I hope you can listen to the guest and maybe call back in next hour, because that's in a conversation worth having, because I think I do have an answer to that. But I also have an answer to the Trump question on the whole, looking at this thing as we head into it, really not too far off in the grand scheme of things.
That's right.
Hey,
coming up.
Well, stay tuned. I hope you can listen to the guest, and then after the 9 o'clock break, call back in.
All right, Scott.
Hey, thanks. All right, we've got a guest coming up here momentarily, I believe anytime in the next 3 minutes, and we're going to enjoy talking with that guest for 15 minutes here, and then we'll come back and discuss it during the 9 o'clock hour. And also continue that conversation, because I believe that conversation is worth having as well. Certainly you would have to say that Donald Trump has a very core support group who love him and love what he does. The question was, does Biden have any of that? Well, I think that's a conversation worth having. Next hour, on the day after, both of these gentlemen have clinched the nomination of their parties. So I think that's kind of the way it all shakes out. You know, it's one of those mornings where the weather changed last night, and it's allergies galore. Now, my allergies only seem to kick up big in the morning. They really don't seem to last all day, but they probably will last all day today since I'm making this pronunciation this morning that they won't last all day. But, you know, it's just dry in the mornings for whatever reason. But I'm excited to have our next guest on because I think in regard to everything that's going on, it's always interesting to learn some things. And I think that we will certainly learn some things as we head into the next 15 minutes here of the program. So hold on. Stand by, and we will get to our guest here momentarily. And remember, tomorrow, as I have it right now, we should have a guest on each hour, and I think they will probably take both of the hours, which is why the announcement made today will have to be put off explaining it probably until Friday. But that's okay. It'll still make sense on Friday. And I'll be able to get into it deeper on Friday. But tune in tomorrow regardless, because there is a good chance if a guest cancels or something happens between now and then, that I will talk about it tomorrow. So there is that as well. There's always something going on here at WGH Talk. You can't miss it for a minute. And I'll tell you, the guests on tomorrow are people you really would not want to miss. They're going to be very interesting interviews. I don't want to give it away, but there'll be things you want to hear. If you want to stay in the know, tomorrow would be the morning to listen, because you're certainly going to be in the know on a lot of things. And hopefully, our guest calls in here momentarily. 45 minutes past the hour, only 15 minutes here left to talk. But you know, it is that time of year where people don't have the time that maybe heretofore they would normally have. But hopefully we'll be able to run down a few things here and discuss what we need to discuss in a 15-minute time period. You know, it's always very difficult. I guess after doing 45-minute interviews, for the majority of this program, it's very difficult to squeeze something in 15 minutes, but we're going to give it a shot this morning. For love nor money, we are going to give it a shot. But 15 minutes is even ticking down at this particular point. But as I say, people are busy, and I understand that. I have no problem with that. It's that time of year, as I said before. Can you tell this is a little bit of a stall here, trying not to take any phone calls and wait for our guest? So hopefully this happens momentarily. Well, we're down to 14 minutes now. This might be a quick interview, so that's showbiz. But remember, we'll be able to come back and talk starting at 9:15 this morning. That hour is going to be open this morning for anything that is on your mind as time gets away from us on this Wednesday morning. Wednesday morning already. Can you believe that? Time just flies on by, doesn't it? Never stops. That's the one thing we have no control over is the clock. All right, I think this is our caller coming in here. As we continue on this morning, we have about 13 minutes left this hour with our guest, and I'm so glad that she was able to come on because there is a primary going on next week. that a lot of people need to be aware of, even though the presidential primary was sewed up last night for Joe Biden and Donald Trump. There are still things going on here in Ohio that people need to turn out and vote for. And one of those races is in the 86th District. Our representative, Tracy Richardson, is in a primary race with Republican primary race with Weslyn Davis. And we wanted to have Tracy Richardson on this morning to discuss that and what she's doing these days. Representative Richardson, how are you?
Good morning, Scott. I'm doing great. Thanks for your patience.
No, I appreciate you coming on. And just for people who are interested this morning, why are you running for re-election? What would you like to do if re-elected?
Well, Scott, thank you so much for that question. First of all, I want to tell folks that I am so honored to have been serving for the last 5 years on our behalf at the State House. And I've come to really know and love Marion. I started really becoming more engaged and active in the community about 6 years, maybe 7 years ago. And what I see in Marion is a renaissance. And I'm very excited to be part of it. I've done a great deal of work in getting to know leaders, local leaders. And why I want to run is to finish strong in being able to help us in Marion, to continue to drive revenues and to listen to residents and hear what the needs and concerns are and to do my best to address them. So I've been serving us, and I have just one last term. And it takes a great deal of effort and time to learn what's important. And as I've gotten to know more, I just want to be able to use what I know and the gifts and talents I have to be able to have a positive impact for Marion.
Would this be your last term if you were elected this time?
Yes, it would be my last term, for sure. We're term limited at the Ohio State House. You do 4 2-year terms. So that's why I run every other year. It's just the way the law is written.
I know we are in the thick of this primary right now, but should you win re-election and serve out your term, do you see yourself wanting to stay in the political world?
You know, I haven't really gotten there. In my entire life, I just take one step at a time. I step in where God leads me. And I try not to think about where I'm going next. I do the very best I can where I'm placed. So I would keep my mind open to it, but I don't have my sights on that right now.
Tracy, something very interesting, because the primary is coming up next week here in Ohio, and it's not unheard of, but it is uncommon in a lot of cases to have an incumbent being primaried in their race, and you are being primaried by Weslyn Davis. Why do you think this came about?
You know, I wish I knew, but it isn't the first time I've been primaried. You know, I believe this is America, and we welcome folks to step up and to serve. My guess is that there's control and power behind what's going on, and my goal has always been to be a public servant. I am not someone who's seeking power for myself or some kind of, like we were just talking about before, some kind of political opportunity. And I think that's what separates me from others. And sometimes I believe that that's very threatening for others. I cannot be controlled. I can't be controlled by political elites. I can't be controlled by special interests. And I think those two are what are behind currently my opponent. I will do what I think is best for the people that I represent, period.
How would you describe the tenor of this primary race? Because it's interesting for anybody who's gotten mailers or anybody who checks out social media. There are some heavy claims being made your way in regard from illegal money being spent on ads to misrepresentation of who she is and her border stances. It's got a little rough this time.
That's an understatement. Scott, I have to say, I have been serving for, you know, a number of years now, and I've never seen anything so ugly. I've never run an ugly or a negative campaign because I want people to know who I am. I want them to know my servant leadership. And I want to win on the basis of my performance and my merit, not on these crazy nonsense attacks. So let me discredit them one by one. I absolutely would never take money for a vote. And I'm being accused of that. I'm being accused of having some, you know, affiliation with a former Speaker of the House. And I can only say with 100% certainty that I had no knowledge of his bad behavior. And in 2020, when he was arrested, I was the very first legislator to call for his resignation. And I did that because I believe in doing the right thing at the right time for the right reasons, period. So there's a number of other things that are being, you know, I'm being told that I'm blue because I voted for a Republican Speaker of the House that the political elites didn't agree with. But for me, I did a decision matrix, and I looked at what was best for Marion and Union County. And quite frankly, the speaker, the Republican speaker I voted for, came to Marion, walked Marion, and then told me that if he were elected as a speaker, that he would help me with Marion. And he has. And we've driven quite a bit of state dollars into Marion to try to help Marion. So once again, I just want to say I don't like this ugliness. And my opponent, she really didn't have anything else, so she just came out attacking, slugging. And she's backed by a bunch of special interest groups that are outside of the state of Ohio. And there's a lot of dark money behind it, too. So with that, I would just say, and people have come to my defense and started doing some history about her and have put out information about her, you know, her past. She's had two DUIs, and I just don't want to get into negative. It's just not me. So I hope I've answered your question very forthrightly. I know I've given an honest answer to you, Scott.
Well, and I appreciate that. And just the other thing I wanted to touch on, because I have seen that it has been a big thing in the last few days, is this mailer that has been put out accusing her of being an open borders liberal. And I know she's taken that very personally, and there have been things on social media certainly about it. Do you stand by that statement, or did you make that statement?
I did not put out that personally, but I will say this. It's very interesting how she's focusing on that, but she's not focusing on, you know, the things that are part of her life that she's not admitting, like the DUI she had in 2019 and the DUI she had in 2007. And I'm not here to judge, nor is she really talking about the fact that she dissolved the company in 2023, October of 2023, and that company had thousands of dollars owed in tax liens to the state of Ohio. So as far as immigration's concerned, she has donated to an organization that wants to help legal aid, illegal immigration. And where you stand on that, you know, different people stand differently with that issue. I would just say to hide behind the fact that she's being supported by a group called Americans for Prosperity who are promoting amnesty for illegal immigration would be a true statement as well.
And I just, this is the final thing on this, because we want to truth things out here before, or clear things up, I guess, for the voters before next week. There is an interesting photo on her social media page in which she's shaking hands with Jim Jordan, Congressman Jim Jordan. And if you do read it, it does say that she endorses him. But if you were to just scroll by it, you might think that he was endorsing her. What did you think of that? And do you support Jim Jordan?
Well, I love the fact that you've asked me this question because I believe her literature is misleading. Congressman Jim Jordan has not endorsed any candidate, and I think it's an intentional mislead where she's saying, I'm supported by Jim Jordan, and I support Jim Jordan. that's an interesting way to put information out. To me, it's very misleading. I've known Jim Jordan for a number of years. I served on his Academy selection board, and you know, I have decided not to request an endorsement from him because I know he doesn't like to endorse. And so I don't want to put him in that situation. He's trying to run the Congressional 4th District. He's trying to represent us at the federal level. And I think we should just let him do his job and leave him alone, quite frankly. And there's a lot of people that try to, and I have taken many pictures with Jim Jordan. If you go to an event, he's very welcoming and he lets you take photos. But that certainly doesn't mean that he's endorsing you as a political candidate. And I didn't put any photos out like that because I don't want to mislead people.
And, you know, I think this comes down to a big question as we head into next week with the primary race. In the things you've said, you've never been in one like this. You've never seen things like this. You've described the DUI. You've described the tactics that have been used, such as that with Congressman Jordan. How would you describe her as a person? And I only ask that because people say now character matters, and I think for most people it probably does. When it comes down to the person and the tactics that have been used here, how do you describe her?
You know, I just want you to know, Scott, I'm a Christian, and I've tried very hard not to be judgmental because I don't want to be judged. It's a very difficult situation I'm in because literally I've been attacked unfairly over and over and over again. And I just want to bring us back to really what's important here is service. Just encourage people to look at who they have, to look at what I have been doing, to look at what I hope to be able to do, like to address property taxes. And in Marion, to continue to support our downtown revitalization and to work with our Adam H. board and to make sure that we fund the suicide hotlines and things that are really impactful, that are solving problems for the people of Ohio and in particular for Marion and Union counties. It just bothers me that this, in particular, this ugly race is undermining people's confidence in the political process. We don't want it. We're disgusted by it. And you know, I'm going to do
You're
my best
listening
to
the Talking
around
Race
as best I can.
Just listen
and,
to former star of
I
the
just,
Jeffersons
again,
and 227, Marla Gibbs.
Look at who
Where
I
did
am
the name Marla come
I
from? It's so unique.
Us, and I what I that. Hope to be able to
really?
Continue to do in a really, really positive way.
Mm. And in the final analysis here, how confident are you going into next week?
Confidence, that's not who I am. I just continue to do what I think is right. And I'm excited because I love to go door-to-door, and I actually get today to come to Marion and go door-to-door and talk with people. So if I knock on your door, please feel free to say hi and if you have any questions, I'd love to answer them. And I'll say one other thing. Every first Monday, unless it's a holiday and the library's closed, I come to the library just to listen to residents. If you call my office, we'll schedule an appointment so I make appropriate time for you. I love doing it. I really appreciate Marion. And Scott, I'm just appreciative that I have the opportunity to speak with you this morning.
Well, I've enjoyed this. And we just have 30 seconds left, and I think this is of importance to people next week. You said that people were backing her who had special interest and have sort of their own agenda. Who are those people at this point?
You know, my guess here is there's people that want to control the power of the state house. They want to control the speaker. They want to control that power. But you know, for me, I'm not about controlling power. I'm about being a representative voice, and I'm about problem solving. And so I just ask people to look at that and say, no, we don't want somebody who's looking for power. We want somebody who's looking to help us and to problem solve. And these special interests who are trying to take over the state house, please do not support them.
Do we know who they are?
I think there's a lot of dark money coming in from out of the state. I would say I know Americans for Prosperity is one of them.
Representative Tracy Richardson, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and it was great seeing you at some events here in the community recently, so I can speak firsthand that you certainly do get out amongst the people of Marion, and I know a lot of people in Marion appreciate that.
Oh, Scott, thank you so much. I care a great deal about Marion, and thank you again for just letting me have the opportunity to speak with you this morning.
Thank you so much. Best of luck.
Thank you. Have a great day. It's going to be a beautiful one.
It is. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Representative Tracy Richardson, there you go. Trying to keep you up to date on what's going on with the candidates. And I know she's appeared on Pastor Craig's show before, and that was a fascinating interview. So if you can find that interview in our archives, it certainly is worth listening to, in my opinion. And we delayed the break there just a little bit, so hopefully we are going to be able to go to break here and come back and talk some more about what's going on in the world, as we always are. All right, let's see what's going on here. Well, maybe we're almost there at this particular point, and then we'll come back on the other side and discuss what we have just heard, I think. All right, I think we're there. We'll be back in 15 minutes.
There's no rhythm to it. Of course, it doesn't. I think in the end, it doesn't.